Hey, everybody. Welcome to Flash Fried, our weekly breakdown of what the fuck is going on in the world. Mostly America.
Oh, what a flash fry.
Oh, God. What's Scotty doing?
Flash fry.
I think Scotty's dying.
Scotty sounds like a dying chihuahua.
Flash fry.
Yeah, he does.
Anything I can do, because there's a certain group of people that just hate me. So I think I do to make their lives just a little more unpleasant in these trying times. I figure I should just do it.
I love the people that hate me. They're my favorites.
It's like, you piece of shit, you're retired, I hate you. It's all like, oh man. So now then it's almost like, I almost feel like, hey, I can use this as a weapon against you now. It's like, you've given me this knowledge. It's like, what can I do with the knowledge I have? It's like, I could just squander it and just be like, oh, I'm sad. Or I could just be more annoying and piss them off even more, which seems like the better option.
Yeah, you've made.
I don't
right
even
choice.
Know what the status is of the people that hate me. I haven't read shit in so long, so I don't know what the new hate is. But
I don't think you're in danger right now. I think you're in a
Your popularity is at an all time high, Paul.
Man, if there was any time to actually read the shit, it's probably now. But.
Yeah, it is. But you already said, I think it might have been that banter sode or a grease trap. You're like, even when people say positive things about you, you're just like, meh.
Well, I just don't believe it.
Oh, okay. So you just refuse to believe it.
Yeah. I just like, I find a reason why it's not true.
That's bullshit. I ain't good.
Paul's
fuck
a great
you.
Guy. That guy fucking hates me. He wants to slip my throat in my sleep.
That guy's a fucking loser. He's a fucking psycho.
Just dealt with too many snakes. That smile in your face.
Smile in your face while they look for a soft spot to plant the knife. I don't know if you saw this yet or not, Paul, but I saw there's a drawing of you that I think is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah?
You seen this new drawing of you?
I have not. Ooh. I like it.
Yeah, it's got kind of a Roald Dahl kind of feel to it, you know?
Yeah, I love it.
You ever see like the illustrations in his books and stuff?
It's a good likeness. I'm with it.
Yeah, I'm with it too. It captures the essence of the Paul pretty well.
It's like Dark Priest Paul, dude.
Yeah, a lot of people were like, why does it look like Rasputin? It's like, because Paul looks like fucking Rasputin. What are you talking about?
Yeah, fat Sputin.
So tasty.
My hair is curlier than that, though.
Yeah, that is true. Your hair is not quite as flat on your head as it is in that depiction.
I get these, like, Shirley Temple ringlets.
Yeah,
it's
you
pretty
do.
It's pretty lame.
Yeah. But
chicks
you know.
Like it, but I think it looks fucking stupid.
It's almost like, Paul, you have, like, Greek hair or something. Like, you have, like, that, you know, Southern Peninsula or something. You know, like, you have, like,
I don't know where that comes from, because I got zero fucking Greek in me. I'm all fucking, I'm 100% like Northern Europe, British, Irish, Scottish, French, German.
Maybe you should ask your father for a paternity test, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Let's see if he's your real daddy.
Maybe I'm the mailman's boy.
Yeah. Milkman Jr., you know?
I'll never forget the TJ's, the one of the most memorable moments of that game show you put. It was like the... What was the one you put together? We all had to get drunk, TJ, and drink the nasty natty light. What was that one called?
I don't know. I forget.
Whatever the fuck it was called, did Paul pull the one like recall your dad and reconcile with them or take three shots? And Paul's like, give
me
the
four.
Shots.
It was four shots.
Oh, four shots.
I mean, there's no way. There was, you know, I'd rather die of alcohol poisoning.
I put one really mean one in everybody's box.
You know what mine was?
Yeah. I don't remember now, but I do remember it was something. It was pretty bad. I remember that.
Damn.
Nobody pulled theirs except me.
Stevie did. I think he just. I think he didn't even say it out loud. He just crumbled it up. It was pretty bad. It was like brutal.
What was it? You remember that?
I'm not. I can't even say it because it'd be too mean to even tell you what it said.
What do you mean? Okay, you gotta tell me after this. Then
I'll tell you later.
Okay, tell me later.
Anyway. I guess we should probably get to the news. We got a lot of news to cover.
Yeah, fuck the news.
Okay. Yeah, we can just do another banter. So just say fuck the news.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with turning the whole show into a banter sode.
Yeah, we just no more topics, no more fucking prompts. We just got to fucking dredge the depths of our soul. Take the journey inward, you know?
Prying open my third eye.
Anyway, we're not doing that. Bernie Sanders drops out of the presidential race. Something that I think probably was really kind of signed, sealed, and delivered after Super Tuesday. But some glint of hope remained for a time. But now any hope of the Sanders supporters like myself has been irrevocably and permanently dashed for all time. We will never see the debate that America longs for between the genuine populist leftist candidate and the faux populist right candidate, Donald Trump. We'll never get to see that state. We'll never get to see that debate. Instead, we get to see the debate between two dementia-addled rapists. And when we get to decide which one gets to be president. So,
I mean, that has its own appeal, to be honest.
Yeah, it does. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of a dark cloud, but it's also kind of its own silver lining, right?
I mean, are they even going to debate in the current situation?
I'm sure they'll figure out something. I mean, you know, there's going to be a debate. It's too much of part of our American ritual. And besides, like, if you're Trump, why would you not want to debate Biden? Usually it's the incumbent who kind of tries to either minimize or, you know, weasel out of the debates because, you know, the incumbent has way more to lose, obviously. But in this case, if I was Trump, I'd be like, let's do as many debates as possible. Let's schedule 10. Fuck.
Dude, the mainstream media is now trying to, like, plant this narrative of, like, dude, Trump is really fucking, he's scared of Biden.
No.
He's really scared. He's like,
Trump is not scared of Biden at all, dude.
Attack Hunter Biden and the whole Ukraine thing, because Trump was like, oh, he's running scared. He's afraid to face Biden.
Let me show you a video that happened recently.
This is Voldemort, the only one he ever feared. You know, come on.
Oh, I got to find this video now that you mentioned this shit.
Trump is not afraid of anybody, I don't think. I don't think Trump truly fears.
I mean, he might fear somebody somewhere, but if he does, it ain't Biden. Okay, I got
to
show you.
I just don't think he has the capacity to fear anybody.
I got to show you this video. This is Trump expressing his terror of Joe Biden.
I don't want to comment as to whether or not, but I agree with their decision 100%. In the back, please.
Joe Biden actually just attacked you in a tweet. I don't know if you have seen it.
He just what?
Attacked you. He just said.
Well, he didn't write anything. Look, here's people, here's professionals from the Democrats.
Mr. President, let me just read what he said. He said Donald Trump is not responsible for the coronavirus, but he is responsible for failing to prepare our nation to respond to it. How do you respond to that, sir?
He didn't write that. That was done by a Democrat operative. He doesn't write. He's probably not even watching right now. And if he is, he doesn't understand what he's watching. But just so you understand, it was very nice what they wrote out. I don't know. You know, they release it at a strange time, you know, sort of a strange time to release something like that. But he admitted I was right. And if you read the Federalist story, which most of you won't because you don't want to, but you'd learn something because if you go, it goes through a chart. Times. I was early. Dr. Fauci, I don't think he's changed his mind, but he said it was a very important step when we stopped China from coming in from the specific.
Anyway, the whole point is that, you know, you already see that Trump is already playing up the whole fucking Biden has dementia angle.
Dude.
I mean, he's just like, even if Biden is watching this, he doesn't even understand what he's seeing. He doesn't write. He doesn't write things. He doesn't understand what's going on.
The Trump train is going to roll on through the fucking the terminus is the White House, dude. Biden is an unbelievably weak candidate. He's just going to fucking put into the American public's head. Joe Biden, does he even know he's on the debate stage? It's president. He can't even say a word. He can't even say a word. You know, it's just going to be like, oh, it's going to be brutal, dude.
I mean, usually these types of attacks are underhanded and overplayed, but when it comes to like this whole Biden doesn't know where he is thing, it's 100% true.
Yeah, there's no fucking, I mean, you just watch Biden in interview after interview. I mean, like, if it was like occasionally he lost his train of thought or something, you know, you could be like, all right, whatever, you know, But I mean, it's like every time, every public appearance he makes, a lot of times now his wife is there beside him, kind of wrangling him, you know, like acting like a mental crutch and fucking filling in the gaps whenever he fucking ventures off into Candyland.
All right, Joe, now they're talking about coronavirus. Huh? Dude, I feel bad for Joe Biden in one sense. It must be terrifying to wake up every day and have no idea where you are. You know, and that happens a lot of people with dementia. Like, where am I? And they have to be like, you're running for president of the United States, sir. You're going to do great.
I've even seen some people who are on, you know, the opposition side trying to make the case that Joe Biden being propped up by the Democrats is a form of elder abuse. Because it's like,
I mean, it kind of is. You know, there's no way they should be putting an addled old man through the rigors of a giant national campaign.
Right,
like,
so
he's in his twilight years, dude.
Yeah, Joe Biden should go fishing or something.
So Senator Bernie Sanders dropped out of the 2020 presidential race Wednesday, ending an unprecedented Democratic primary and setting up a general election between President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden. The independent senator from Vermont announced his move in a conference call with staff after he suffered a series of crushing primary losses and the coronavirus pandemic stalled his campaign for weeks. Speaking to supporters, he said the path to winning the Democratic presidential nomination is virtually impossible, adding that he did not want to put effort into a doomed campaign as the outbreak rips through the country. I cannot in good conscience continue to mount a campaign that cannot win and which would interfere with the important work required of all of us in this difficult hour.
I mean, I don't want to pile on here, but I don't know that I buy this coronavirus excuse from him.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, I think the coronavirus outbreak was a real opportunity for him to even strengthen his case. I mean, I have a lot of criticisms, especially of the post Super Tuesday strategy of Bernie's campaign. I mean, but I have plenty of criticisms of the pre Super Tuesday campaign choices that were made.
He just needed to be more aggressive from the jump. He needed to be. Now, I'm not saying he needed to, you know, be a total fucking rolling around in the muck with everybody. But there are ways around that while still aggressively going after these other candidates and really painting himself as an alternative. And I don't think he did a good job at all.
I don't think he did either. You know, and I think that another problem is that, you know, a lot of times I feel like even if he wanted to keep his hands clean, you know, he should have sent his surrogates out there to make the more vicious attacks that he didn't want to be necessarily associated with him directly. But I mean, even when I can never remember the name of the woman who wrote it, but she's an expert on corruption and she wrote a detailed article about the corruption of Joe Biden. And, you know, Bernie basically went out and disavowed it and said, no, Joe's not like that. Well, you know, Joe is like that. And we all know he's like that. So, right, I mean, right. You know, the fact that he continued to like the day after Super Tuesday, he's on TV shows being asked directly, like, do you think Joe Biden can win in a general election? And he's like, yeah, Joe Biden can win in a general election. It's like, you know, when this fucking entire campaign now hinges on the electability argument and you're out there saying that your opponent is electable. I mean, that's just beyond stupid politics.
And guess what? When Joe Biden loses, which is probable, I'm not saying it's 100%. I mean, of course, there's a possibility he could win. Who are they going to blame? That's the fucking first motherfucker they're going to blame.
Bernie done it again.
Day one.
But let's be honest, it's not really Bernie they're blaming. I mean, he's just a scapegoat. Who they're really blaming is anybody who supported Bernie Sanders, anybody who's part of a populist leftist movement, like an insurgent movement within the Democratic Party that's trying to tell these people, don't take this corporate money, don't take this big super PAC money. You need to represent the interests of the people, not multinational corporations. It's their fault. It's their fault we lost. They didn't show up to support our candidate. You know, they're not even real Democrats. They're fucking like a malignant tumor within the Democratic Party. It just all bypasses the fact that they're the ones who fucking sold the farm a long fucking time ago, because Bernie Sanders is just trying to, carry on the political philosophy that, you know, what the FDR political philosophy, you know,
the New Deal philosophy. Yeah.
Yeah. The populist philosophy, the people first, profit second philosophy, because right now we have the corporatist party and then we have the corporatist light party. and they're basically the same. And,
now with fewer calories.
Anybody who fucking challenges that orthodoxy is going to, you know, incite the ire of the fucking political institutions of this country. And you see that with Bernie Sanders. You see that you saw that with Trump when he was running. I mean, they thought he was a threat to the status quo. Now, ultimately, I don't think he was, but they thought he was. And you saw how they tried to crush him. But they were never smart enough with Trump to realize they needed to galvanize all of their support behind one sort of establishment candidate. They kept their field split. The Democrats were a little bit smarter about how to deal with the Sanders insurgency. They're like, all right, well, we can't let Sanders win this. So Obama himself personally called, you know, Amy Klobuchar and Pete Buttigieg and told them, you guys need to drop out and support Biden right now. And Obama's still pretty much the leader of that party. So they, of course, listen immediately. This is something that, you know, I think Bernie should have stuck it out a little longer, even with no chance. But, he hasn't listened to the sort of political thinking that's along my, along my lines at any point during this. So I didn't really expect him to now.
I heard a bunch of progressives already arguing like, no, man, Bernie, you know, even if he can't win, it's important for him to stay in and give that counter, you know, that the voice to this movement and to still have the progressive voice heard. And even it's going to be Joe Biden running, like, get as many concessions as possible, hold his feet to the fire as long as possible. I mean, up until, you know, the 11th hour.
Right.
Instead, Bernie, of course, being pragmatic and saying, well, you know, I want as much unity as possible, just goes the, you know, the weaker path and the easier path of, you know, trying to say, oh, okay, well, if we unite now, maybe that we have a chance of beating Trump. Because I think he realizes,
I don't think you do,
you know, and privately, that it's a long shot that Joe Biden's going to beat Trump. Could it happen? Sure. I'm not going to say it's impossible.
Nothing's impossible, especially, you know, obviously we see that the America can flip the script in a second. But I mean, I just don't see.
I lost $1,000 to you saying, oh, Donald Trump, oh, it ain't no way.
I don't see Donald Trump. I don't see Donald Trump prevailing. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't see Donald Trump not prevailing. I think Joe Biden is probably the weakest candidate I've ever seen in my entire life.
Dude, Trump's he's weaker, like a child, dude.
He's weaker than John Kerry was. He's weaker than Hillary Clinton was.
Far weaker.
I mean, I guess he's not the weakest I've ever seen in my life. That would probably be Bob Dole. But he's on that Bob Dole level, though.
Or John Kerry.
No, I think Kerry even was a stronger fucking candidate than
yeah, Kerry at least had his mind going for him. You know what I mean? Like, he could still get through a fucking speech. You know, so I mean, Kerry was very weak. I agree with you in principle, but I mean, no one was saying John Kerry is senile.
Kerry is every bit as listless as Biden, but I think he was at least at least he was eloquent.
Well, he comes from that, like, old school, more polished politician sort of thing where it's like, in America, help is on the way. You know, that was his big thing. Like, we're going to help America.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I put a lot of the blame for the failure of this campaign on these super sycophantic Bernie worshiping supporters of his who, after 2016, when he bent the knee to Hillary Clinton, you know, at least in my interactions, when I pointed out what a fucking total betrayal that was, I got all these people saying, well, what's he supposed to do? Did he ruin his political career? What's he supposed to do? Have some principles? What's he supposed to do? Tell the truth? You know what I mean? And look, it happened again.
Yeah.
He's basically the same thing again. Here he is, bending the knee to a complete and utter disaster of a candidate. And, you know, nobody held him accountable for that. These fucking supporters of his just lapped up his fucking really weak, kind of limp-wristed style of dealing with the opposition. And there was no demand for him to run a more aggressive campaign. And so, you know, I don't put all the fault on the supporters, but certainly a giant slice of that pie goes right in their fucking laps.
Yeah,
I mean, there's people doing it already.
This was look, from the very beginning, I mean, I've obviously have supported Bernie Sanders since his 2016 run. But I mean, from the very beginning, I've said that if there's any fatal flaw, I mean, there's more than one flaw with Bernie Sanders, just like there's more than one flaw with any politician running. But if for me, the major flaw of Bernie Sanders throughout this entire fucking time has been this lack of aggression, this, you know, like when it comes to the opposition, oh, he's, you know, he can become a real fucking firebrand and take them on and call them out by name. But when it comes to his own side, he will talk shit on his own side, but it's always in very vague, nebulous terms. He won't make specific call outs. I feel like he was actually a little bit more likely to do that back in, you know, 2016 when he was running against Hillary. He didn't seem to have as much of an issue pointing out Hillary's problems. I mean, I know he let her off the hook with the email thing, but like, you know, he went after a hardcore on her speeches to Wall Street and all these other things. He was willing to make substantive, hard hitting criticisms of Hillary Clinton that I never saw him willing to make of Joe Biden or anyone else that he ran against in this 2020 primary. It was almost it was a more neutered Bernie Sanders. We needed a more aggressive Bernie Sanders, not a less aggressive. And I mean, like,
think about that one debate we saw with them.
Right,
we saw that one on one. And it was, you know, Bernie's got 9 super PACs. What are they? come on, man. You know, it's like,
yeah, why didn't Bernie should have held his feet to the fire on that. He shouldn't have let the issue drop. Like every time he scored a point, it was like he was always okay with just scoring that one point. He never fucking,
nice, dude.
He never hammered it home. He never said, like, Joe, you just accused me of having 9 super PACs. Name even one. Fucking question he should have been like, he should have hammered out throughout the entire debate, you know, and instead of fucking, and why did he let him off the hook on whether or not he wanted to cut Social Security and Medicare? That should have been hammered over and over and over again, despite what the moderators say, despite what the question is. Hammer Joe Biden as a liar. Hammer him as a liar over and over and over again. You had ample opportunity, and you only made the most passing references to it because, you know, at the end of the day, it's still this Joe Biden is my friend, and he's a good man, and he's going to beat Trump like a drum. You know, and it's like, you know, are you running against the guy or not?
Well, here's the thing. You know, I'm saying even as weak as that was, exposed the weakness of Biden. And Bernie's like fucking, as far as attacks are concerned, glass fucking Joe. You know, I mean, and Trump's going to fucking come at him like the fucking Mike Tyson in Punch Out. He's going to fucking, he's not going to give a shit what a moderator says. He's not going to fucking care. He's going to fucking be like, Joe Biden has dementia. Joe Biden is this. Joe Biden should be in jail. He told Hillary during the debate he's going to put her in fucking prison. He doesn't give a fuck. So, I mean, if anything, Biden needs to run away from these debates. He needs to say, I can't, you know, there's no point in the debate. It's too dangerous. You know, he needs to come up with any excuse possible. He does not need to fucking debate Trump. Because it doesn't matter. Like, look, Joe Biden could actually, in the ideas department, maybe even beat Trump. Maybe that's even possible. Maybe 10 years ago that was possible. But, you know, the thing is now there's no fucking way. People are going to look at the emotions. They're going to fucking see it by and Biden have no one-liners, no quips, nothing funny, nothing interesting. He's going to fucking stumble and stutter. And Trump's just going to fucking look like a slam fucking dunk. He's just going to fucking, he's already doing it. He's already practicing it. Does he even know where he is? That's Democratic operatives. You know, Joe, you can write your own tweets. I write all my own tweets.
Yeah, and Trump's going to nuke Joe Biden from orbit. I mean, let's be real. I mean, he's going to nuke him from fucking orbit.
It's an uphill battle. It's an up because, you know, there's a certain segment of the populace now that during this crisis, they just, you know, they want to trust the authority. That's why we see Trump's numbers steadily gaining, even though he's badly bungled this.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's an uphill battle for an incumbent to even try and fucking, you know, make a dent in this. And Joe Biden ain't it.
Joe Biden is dead on arrival. I mean, he's dead on arrival.
Quite literally. I don't know if you pulled the story, TJ. Did you pull the thing about the Joe Rogan comment about he'd rather vote for Trump over Biden?
I can pull it now.
Like, hit the floor.
That wasn't me.
That was me.
That wasn't me.
Oh, you are. I guess Paul dropped his vape.
I did.
Yeah, I won't probably play a clip from the show because we've gotten in a little bit of trouble for that before. But Joe Rogan, I'd vote for Mike Tyson over Joe Biden. Well, he said he vote for Trump over Biden as well. But this is I guess he said he'd vote for Mike Tyson over him as well. Joe Rogan clarifies his recent viral remarks about opting to vote for Donald Trump over Joe Biden and explains it is not an endorsement of Trump. Over the weekend, Joe Biden went viral with an excerpt from his podcast.
Joe Rogan.
What did I say? Something else?
You said Joe Biden.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Podcast with Eric Weinstein. The clip in question found the podcast host affirming he'd vote for Donald Trump over Joe Biden, which, of course, sparked a healthy amount of debate and backlash. In Rogan's latest podcast, episode 1454, with Dan Crenshaw, Rogan dives back into the political talk and clarifies his remarks from the latest episode. Dan Crenshaw is a politician himself and a former United States Navy SEAL and spoke to Rogan about the government's approach to COVID-19, as well as the presidential race, among other things. I'm on the left, but I find myself getting more confused, Joe Rogan tells Crenshaw, who himself leans more to the right. It's more of a mystery now because I said I wouldn't vote for Biden. I said I would vote for Trump over Biden. All these people went crazy. But let me be clear. I'd vote for Whoopi Goldberg over Joe Biden. I'd vote for Mike Tyson over Joe Biden. I just don't think it's a good idea to take someone who's struggling with dementia and put him in the most stressful position the world has ever known. That's what I'm saying.
Then why would you vote for Trump?
It's not an endorsement of Trump as it is me saying you shouldn't have a man who is clearly in the throes of dementia. I mean, I'm not a doctor, blah, 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 blah. Trump is every bit, well, I won't say every bit as dementia-addled as Biden, but he clearly also suffers from some severe cognitive fucking decline. I mean, you go watch Trump fucking, 25, 30 years ago and watch him now. I mean, honestly, he hasn't declined that much because he always was kind of a stupid son of a bitch, but clearly been some decline.
Did you guys ever watch The Apprentice?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, Paul, did you ever watch it?
No,
I've seen it a few times. I didn't really watch it, but I've seen it. I've been in places it's on.
Well, Mom and Steve used to fucking watch that.
That's
show
where I saw it.
So, like, when I would catch it, sometimes, like, I mean, Trump never came across like. I mean, obviously, there's a TV show and there's editing and shit, but he never came across like, Trump's not all there. But if you watch Trump now, I mean, there those weird pauses. He'll insert different words that just seem like out of place. I mean, he's not to Joe Biden's level yet, but if you give Trump enough time, I mean, by the end of his second term, if he gets it, he'll probably be in Joe Biden.
I'll tell you what, though. I mean, a lot of times when Trump comes across as being lost or whatever, it's because he's trying to be serious and come across as presidential. That's really when he fumbles and flails. When you let the motherfucker be off the chain and just say whatever he wants, he doesn't really come across as having dementia. He comes across as being a fucking lunatic, he's a funny lunatic. And honestly, he's a lunatic in a way that plenty of Americans are lunatics. Cause I know plenty of crazy ass right wing motherfuckers. And they're of course the ones who vote for Trump. So when they see him fucking ranting and raving and pointing his finger, they're not looking at that like, oh, he's crazy. They're looking at like my kind of guy. So, I mean,
oh, yeah, dude, like those press conferences where he starts talking to people and is not some prepared remarks or teleprompter, like, you'll have Trump gold then. He'll fucking go off on these people, and you'll be like, man, and it's like, you can say, oh, well, that's not really substantive, and it's not, but at the same time, it's like, that's going to appeal to a lot of people. It's going to be a demographic, like you're saying. Trump's a real guy, and Joe Biden just doesn't have that.
He's got the timing.
He's the Polish politician, but he doesn't have that anymore, so now it's just like, okay.
Trump has the timing of a fucking stand-up comedian. I mean, he's on that level. He's better.
I don't know if I'll go that far. I mean, he's definitely got a better grasp of that than some politicians do. I don't know that I'd put him on the level of a stand-up.
I will go that far. I will absolutely go that far. I've seen plenty of comedians bomb sets, not even necessarily bombing the set, but bombing it with me. Like, I'll watch a lot of these more obscure comedians. Now, I'm not saying that Trump's on the level of like a George Carlin or a Richard Pryor or something, because he's obviously not. But like, sometimes I watch these obscure comedians on YouTube, and I've seen plenty that have inferior fucking comedic timing to Donald Trump. I mean, just think about that fucking that joke. Those are the jokes he made at the expense of Bloomberg, where he's like ducking under the podium and doing like the little short guy thing. I don't know. I think he's got some fucking. He knows how to tickle the fucking funny bone of not only his base, but even someone like me who fucking hates him and disagrees with him. I even was chuckling at those jokes. I mean, come on. He's funny. He's a funny guy. And, we saw him tear through
the last campaign, we saw him and all this other stuff, and he goes, yeah, oh, only Rosie O'Donnell,
right?
It's just shit like that where it's like, okay,
that's like a Milton Berle fucking level of like, he's on there with a fucking comeback for that shit. And I mean, like, that's why he tore through the entire Republican establishment like fucking toilet paper. That's why he fucking handed Hillary her ass. And that's why he's going to fucking skull fuck Joe Biden into dust. Joe Biden is dead.
I was imagining Joe Biden just exploding.
Trump is not going to lose to this man.
I've seen some stuff too because of this Bernie thing, and this stuff always makes me fucking laugh. These people that are like LARPing that they're revolutionaries.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've seen people posting like black block memes and shit. You know, the whole meme of Homer coming out of the out of the hedges, and then he goes back in, and he comes back out, and he's got a black bandana
and a Molotov.
And a Molotov.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh. And it's just like, man, these stupid fucks, these doughy, sad fucks that are posting these like, oh, it's time to rise up memes. It's like, nobody's going to do that. Nobody, especially not the people posting that fucking stupid bullshit.
The Twitter revolution has begun. Meme. Send out memes to all the people. It's like, come on. What are you guys going to do? You know, it's like, really?
Yeah, I just show me where to take the Molotov. I'll be there.
Okay.
Just point me in the direction. All right, we should probably move on. We've spent 30 minutes talking about one article. Majority says Obama would handle coronavirus better than Trump. Who tops Biden? Poll. So a majority of registered voters said they think former President Obama would be doing a better job handling the coronavirus pandemic than President Trump, according to the Politico Morning Consult poll released on Wednesday. That same group of respondents said they think Trump is being a better leader during the outbreak than former Vice President Biden, who is the front runner for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination. In the new poll, 52% of the surveys, 1,990 respondents, said they believed Obama would be better than Trump during the ongoing pandemic, compared to 38% who said they thought Trump is the better leader. On a different question, 44% said they thought Trump would be the better leader compared to Biden, who got 36%.
This is the dumbest poll I've ever seen. It's like Obama was a very popular president, so of course he's going to beat Trump in that, and of course he's going to beat Biden. Biden was the vice president. I mean, and Biden has not conducted himself in a manner which is, I think, anyone acceptable. I mean, he's been virtually fucking absent from the political conversation. I mean, more people are talking about fucking the guy that dropped out than they're talking about the guy who's actually the fucking nominee or the presumptive nominee.
Right. And, you know, I mean, this just shows, too, that even among Democrats, there's far more people out there who are willing to say Obama would be doing better than are willing to say that Biden would do better.
I don't know what the use polls of polls like this are. Like, Obama's out of it. He's not running. It doesn't matter what people think about Obama anymore.
I mean, it does. Here's why it does matter, in my opinion, because this shows that, and I think we already all knew this, I guess, but, you know, it's just another piece of evidence in the fucking strong series of data points that shows that Joe Biden, for all his running on the Obama magic, ain't no fucking Obama. You know, he doesn't have that fucking, I mean, like, of course it's totally obvious, I guess. But, I mean, it's just another fucking piece of data on the fucking chart that's like, this guy's not Obama. He's never going to fucking have that Obama popularity. He certainly doesn't have that level of fucking voter confidence that Obama enjoys to this day. But, you know, one of the other reasons I pulled this story is because I think it's fucking absurd to say that Obama would be handling this crisis well. We already saw how Obama handles a crisis. We saw what he did in Flint, Michigan, where he shows up. He acts like there's no problem. He fucking pretends to drink the fucking poison tainted water and tells the people the water's fine. The water wasn't fine. It's still not fine. So we know whose fucking side Obama is on. He's on the same side as Trump. He's on the side that says, you know, corporate America's profits are more important than your fucking life. And that's where he's at. That's his fucking team. So the idea that Obama would be looking out for the people in this time is fucking absurd. But I am glad to see that even among people who don't recognize that, they still recognize that Joe Biden is not fucking, he's not ready for this challenge.
I mean, Obama didn't. There's a national stockpile of PPE stuff, you know, under under Obama's watch, it was never replenished.
Right. You know? I mean, they used it all during the H1N1 crisis.
It's a joke. You know what president was actually obsessed with it, according to some articles I read, was George W. Bush. He was kind of obsessed with pandemics. They said he read a book on the 1918 influenza crisis and was like, we need to deal with this. And people were kind of at the time like, it's just some weird thing that W. wants us to do.
Hold on. Are you fucking telling me right now that probably the president who might have handled this situation the best was fucking George W. Bush?
Yes. I take everything I read with a grain of salt. But I did read that. I was kind of interested to read a couple of articles, write-ups about how he wanted to prepare more for a pandemic because he read about that. He's like, they happen every 100 years, you know?
Oh my God.
I don't know. It's kind of an interesting thought.
I can't handle the reality I find myself in, gentlemen. I can't handle it. Please move me to the next convenient parallel dimension. I can't.
Yeah, welcome to my fucking nightmare for the last 20 years of my life.
I'm not grokking with this plane of being. Okay.
Grandpa's nightmare. This is actually my utopia. So I'm fine.
Wisconsin voters brave long lines to vote in primary amid coronavirus outbreak. Results expected next week.
Doesn't matter.
This is the main thing I want to talk about this story is that the governor of this state, Wisconsin, tried to postpone this election, and the Supreme Court actually ordered it to go on.
Wisconsin Supreme Court or the federal Supreme Court?
Let's see. Polls closed Tuesday night in Wisconsin's presidential primary, which candidate Bernie Sanders has said may very well prove deadly, with voters waiting hours in long lines outside overcrowded polling stations and ignoring federal health recommendations in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. Results were not expected Tuesday night. A court ruling appeared to prevent results from being made public earlier the next Monday. Thousands more stayed home, unwilling to risk their health during a statewide stay-at-home order, but complained that absentee ballots that they requested were still missing. Governor Tony Evers, a Democrat, had issued an executive order to delay the election following an urgent warning by mayors of Wisconsin's largest cities that hundreds of thousands of citizens at risk by requiring them to vote at the polls while this ugly pandemic spreads. But the move drew instant pushback from the GOP-controlled state legislature and was overturned on the eve of the primary by the Republican-dominated state Supreme Court.
This is a joke, dude. You know, this is, I mean, how can you even say we live in a republic if you even believe in voting? If you believe it at all that your vote mattered, they're literally saying, oh, it's okay to vote during a pandemic. You know what's interesting about these justices, too, that met? When they met, they did it virtually. So if it's not a big deal and people should just go vote, why don't they just sit 6 feet apart? Not a big deal, right? Hey, but go vote during a pandemic. No, there's no risk to you. Oh, wait, but there's a massive risk. And the CDC has already advised us not to do these things. But who cares?
Lower voter turnout has always benefited Republicans. So, of course, they're the ones who immediately embrace this sort of... this crisis is a fucking godsend for them, right?
Yeah, completely. I mean, the level of corruption in our government now is just like... I mean, can anyone take this shit seriously? Does this even matter at this point? I mean, we already knew it was going to be fucking Trump was going to get it from the Republican side and Biden was going to get it from that side. But even if someone like Bernie did have a chance, like this just killed it. There's no way. It's like, oh, hey, you want to go for it during a pandemic? Nope.
All right. Let's cover a positive story. Editing the buttholes out of Cats was a total nightmare for VFX crew.
Dude, I saw a video that somebody made where they edited some buttholes back into Cats.
Yeah.
And I need to see the butthole cut of this movie. I'm not going to watch this movie.
I'm not watching until then, yeah.
Yeah, until the butthole cut is available.
Hashtag release the butthole cut. It's not often an interview begins with the words, tell me about the buttholes. Ask any Cats fan, however, and they'll regale you with tales of the $100 million losing Hollywood disaster piece's elusive butthole cut. The root of Cats' muddied visual effects, it turns out, might have been more than just a time-crunched production. Director Tom Hooper, a source alleges, had no idea what an animated production entails, and he made life hell for the visual effects artist struggling until the bitter end to figure out what he wanted. Cats was already halfway complete when the buttholes first showed themselves, a source who worked on the film's visual effects recalled in a recent interview. When we were looking at playbacks, we were like, what the hell? You guys see that? We paused it, the source said. We went to call our supervisor and we're like, there's a fucking asshole in there. There's buttholes. It wasn't prominent, but you saw it and you were just like, what the hell is that? That's a fucking butthole in there. It wasn't in your face, but at the same time, too, if you're looking, you'll see it. The rogue anuses, we should probably note, were not part of any concerted artistic vision, as the source put it. There was absolutely nobody that said, we want buttholes. It was one of those things that just happened and slipped through.
Bullshit, dude.
And indeed, I mean, you can't see me right now, but my hand is in the air. I want buttholes.
I want buttholes. Yo, we want buttholes.
I'll tell you what, though, man. It just slipped through. Come on. These fucking VFX artists were just sitting there getting fucking their asses ridden by this director. One's just like, you know what?
Let's put buttholes in it.
Let's put some fucking buttholes in it. This guy wants to ride my ass. You know what? I'm going to put fucking buttholes on these cats.
Buttholes on the cats.
I mean, they should have buttholes. What do? Are they fucking like Kim Jong Il and Kim Jong Un?
Yeah. How are they shitting if they don't have buttholes? Bring back the buttholes. Bring back the buttholes.
These guys are just trying to keep it real.
They kept it subtle.
I want buttholes. I want pussies. I want nipples.
Yeah.
I want dicks. I want the whole kit and caboodle here.
Yeah, and in fact, I mean, cats have multiple tits, right? So all these fucking all the female cats should have a big fucking line of titties going right down their entire abdomen.
Six titties.
Yeah, at least. And come on. This is fucking, I mean, like, we demand this, all right?
Dude, how many tits do cats have?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I'm going to look it up.
How many nipples? I guess
how
Paul's looking
How many it up. Nipples does a cat have?
How many nipples does a cat fucking have?
A butthole cut, dude. If Universal knows what's good for it, the butthole cut is coming to a theater near you. I guess it's shut down for coronavirus. Coming to fucking video on demand near you.
Oh, I guess it's variable in cats. I guess some have four and some have up to eight.
See, and that's some, even better. You can fucking do all kinds of shit with that.
It says some can even have 10.
10. God damn.
Whoa.
This Brooklyn landlord just canceled rent for hundreds of tenants. Mario Salerno, who has 18 apartment buildings, said he did not want renters to stress about their payments during the coronavirus pandemic.
Positivity.
Does this guy even know where he lives? Does he know what country he's in?
This has been another example of positivity. Anyway, a few days after losing his job in March, Paul Gentile. I see why Paul pulled this, because it's fucking got his name right there.
Paul Gentile.
Name a bad Paul. Name a fucking Paul that was a scumbag.
Paulie Shore?
He's not a real Paul.
Yeah, he's a Paulie. Yeah, that's not the same. You're right.
Every Paul I've ever met's been a liar and a cheat.
Was throwing away trash outside his Brooklyn apartment building when he noticed a new sign hanging near the front door. Because of the coronavirus pandemic, which has brought life to a... I'm sorry, this guy's not named Paul. The dude's forgiven all the rent is Mario. Paul's just some random schlub the article starts with. Because of the coronavirus pandemic, which has brought life to near standstill in New York City and caused an untold number of people to lose their jobs, tenants in the building did not need to pay April rent, it read. Stay safe, help your neighbors, and wash your hands, the landlord, Mario Salerno. I mean, here's this thing right here. Due to the recent pandemic of coronavirus COVID-19 affecting all of us, please note I am waiving rent for the month of April 2020. Stay safe, help your neighbors, and wash your hands. Thank you, Mario.
It's a me, a Mario. You have no rent.
I wonder if he's going to waive it for May, too.
Well, I don't know.
There's no way New York's going back to fucking normal by May.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting thing to see. Across New York, landlords have started to panic as well, as it has become clear that some tenants are unable to afford rent. Several surveys conducted last month estimated that 40% of renters in New York City, if not more, would not make April rent. So why don't we do, instead of relying on the the good nature of certain landlords like Mario Salerno here.
A rare landlord if right, there ever was one. Let's
to
be
fucking be like, all right, you know, I need to fucking cut people a break. Why don't we just fucking do a fucking rent freeze and a mortgage freeze and just say like, look, this is just on pause right now. Because this there's no viability to this. People aren't working. You know, we can't fucking just let them fall deeper and deeper into debt and default and be kicked out of their homes. And then we have a fucking bunch of
programs have done that, like Fannie Mae and right. Freddie Mac, those ones that are backed by the federal
But it needs
government.
To be done nationally. It needs to be done on a national level.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, it's just kind of astonishing. It's like, you know, if you can't evict people, I mean, there's just no point. I mean, if they can't pay, it's not like they don't even want to pay. It's like they don't have the fucking money. What do you want them to do? What are they supposed to do?
Think about if that $2 trillion stimulus, you know, at least part of it had gone to property owners so that they could provide this rent-free environment for the duration of this. It just goes to show you that amount of money could have done wonders in this pandemic for average fucking people.
Absolutely. And
but what about another, those giant corporations, Paul? What about, have you thought about them lately?
Here's another landlord. Landlord changes locks on California church after pastor said he'd continue to hold services.
All right, I want good. The positivity noise.
This is actually, I don't think Paul pulled this one. I think this is.
I did.
You did?
Yep.
Okay, so this is another positivity.
Yeah.
Members of a Central California church found themselves locked out of the building after the pastor originally kept his doors open, saying the shelter-in-place orders violated his freedom to assemble. But within the past week, the landlord of the Cross Culture Christian Center in Lodi, California.
It's Lodi.
Lodi, California. Changed the locks so congregants couldn't enter the building for Palm Sunday services. The landlord is Bethel Open Bible Church in, Paul, you want to help me with that one? San Joaquin. Joaquin. County Health Department had ordered the church to shut down last week. A small gathering of congregants showed up Sunday, but they had been poised to defy the shelter-in-place order, and they weren't pleased with the turn of events. I'm not thrilled in general with the restriction on religious liberties, said Jeremy Duncan, the pastor's brother, especially during what is Christians' most holy week.
Oh, so someone said you couldn't be a Christian during the COVID outbreak? Oh, yeah. No, they just said you can't gather in large numbers, dipshit. It's not the
not
same.
Not only that, thing. Dude. There are ways. Like, it's fucking 2020. My sister's a big churchy person. They closed their church down, I don't know, like weeks ago, and they've been doing online services where they stream, the pastor streams a Bible reading and everybody can fucking watch it and talk in the chat and shit. Like, there are ways around this.
Yeah, we live in 2020. We're not living in fucking 18 fucking 60.
I have no objection to that, and that's how it should be done. And a lot of churches are doing that, and I mean, that's good on them. I mean, I don't like organized religion to begin with, but I mean, it's better than fucking telling a bunch of people to gather like these people. Like, hey, let's still show up. Like, just like they're doing in Baton Rouge. And
I want
places.
You guys to watch this little CNN excerpt that Kyle Kulinski pulled for his story on how 14 states have exempted religious gatherings from the COVID lockdown.
Right here.
But anyway, this is a reporter interviewing a woman who's leaving the church after the service here.
Attended a church service with dozens of other people, including children.
Can I ask you about your decision to go to church to be inside that building?
I wouldn't be anywhere else.
Aren't you concerned you could infect other people if you get sick inside?
No.
People who don't go to this
church. No. I'm covered in Jesus' blood. I'm covered in Jesus'
but
blood.
What about other people who don't go to this church who you might encounter?
All of these people go to this church.
No, but you're going to be in places where other people
I go
are.
To the grocery store every day. I'm in Walmart, what? Home Depot.
Oh, great.
No shit. That's his point, you dumb cunt.
But they're not because I'm covered in his blood. Thank you very much.
I like how she, as a total Christian thing to do, like, I'm covered in the blood. Thank you. I'll be on my way now. Like, you've won the argument.
I win. Goodbye. Goodbye, y'all. I'm covered in the blood of Jesus.
These people have got to be dealt with.
Yeah.
If this society is to survive, this type of thinking has to be dealt with directly. Like, it can't go. This bitch is literally taking this fucking virus into places where people have to go to get their food and spreading it around. And her excuse, I'm covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. First of all, weird.
Yeah, creepy and weird.
Second of all, you're dumb as fuck, you stupid, oblivious cunt.
I don't know what and the dangerous. Fuck.
I mean, that's the worst part about that. She's dangerous. I mean, it would be one thing if, like, we said it before, if it was your own stupidity, it's like, you know what? It's like if you jump off a tall building, like, I'm doing parkour. Oop, I fell to my death. You know, it's she's literally going into essential places. And what about the workers? You know, the other people there, yeah, maybe there's, like, you can Instacart or something. But people have to go work there. Or they're going to fucking lose everything they have. They're being forced to work because they're essential. They're going to lose their jobs. That's their livelihood. They have no other way to pay their bills. And they're being encountering people like this going, I'm washed in the blood. Fuck
I'm
you.
Washed in the blood of the lamb.
Bad for when this person fucking encounters.
Louisiana police apologize for using the purge siren to signal coronavirus curfew.
I ain't worried about it. They don't want to get shot. Stay off the street.
Crowley police chief Jimmy Broussard said he had no idea the siren was from the Universal horror thriller and vowed not to use the siren again. Police in Crowley, Louisiana have issued an apology for using the siren heard in The Purge to signal the 9 p.m. local time curfew that has been put into effect in the city because of the coronavirus outbreak. The curfew prohibits citizens from leaving their homes between the local hours of 9 p.m. and 6 a.m. The police department said the curfew went into place because the city is located in the state's Acadia Parish, which has received the worst rating for rapid spread of the virus. It has been put into place in order to try and slow the spread. Police are giving citations to people for violating the curfew. People traveling to or from work must have documentation from their employer. An alarm used by the police at the beginning of the month was the same alarm heard in The Purge, James DeMonico's 2013 horror thriller about a fictional America where for one night it becomes legal to commit any crimes, including murder, for a 12-hour period. The alarm in The Purge is heard to signal that the killing and crime sprees can begin. The first Purge film starred Ethan Hawke, blah, 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 blah.
I still haven't seen any of those Purge movies.
Yeah, I've been meaning to check those out because there's so many
there's
at like
this point. There's four of them, aren't
there? I think there's five. Let me check.
Jesus.
The Purge series. Let me see how many movies there are.
Purge, TJ.
No, not the TV series. Okay, so let me see. There is there's four, and then there's a TV show apparently as well. There is The Purge, then there was The Purge Anarchy, then there was The Purge Election Year, and then there was a prequel called The First Purge, and then there was a TV show also called The Purge.
I see.
That's, I guess, still running. I never even
and they're
knew
really
existed.
Riding this fucking Purge concept into the ground, aren't
the
they?
The Purge.
But the first time, it's like, oh, that's an interesting little flick. You know, then it's like, on. It's like, all right, we get the point. There's a day where people can do whatever the fuck they want. Gotcha.
I mean, it's kind of scary that concept is so enticing to people in this country that it's supported four movies.
Yeah, man, I wish they'd just do the damn Purge already. I think they got a damn good, fine idea in there.
Imagine if you had one day you could settle any scores you had consequence-free. I mean, you wouldn't want to take that? I think you would.
I'm going to go kill that some bitch what stole my goat.
Kobe Bryant posthumously elected to Basketball Hall of Fame.
I mean, he would have been if he'd been alive anyway.
Absolutely. There's really no doubt about it. In 2020, the basketball community has suffered an unimaginable loss of an iconic figure, Commissioner David Stern and Kobe Bryant, as well as the game itself due to COVID-19, the Hall of Fame CEO said. Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, and Kevin Garnett, and six others will forever be basketball legends, as it was announced that they would be enshrined in the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. The Hall of Fame's announcement was delayed from the NCAA's Final Four weekend in Atlanta after the tournament was canceled due to the coronavirus pandemic, and it comes a little over 2 months after Bryant died in a helicopter crash. We wish he was here to celebrate with us, but It's definitely the peak of his NBA career, and every accomplishment that he had as an athlete was stepping stone to be here. We're so like Scotty said. I mean, this is not an instance of like, you know, this guy is getting admitted into the Hall of Fame because he died. I mean, he was definitely going there one way or another.
I mean, all the guys on that list definitely deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
His death, I mean, might have sped up the process a little bit. I don't know. Pretty likely that it did, but he was going in one way or the other. I mean, a lot of people consider
that many championships. You have that many records. You have score that many points. I mean,
a lot of people consider Kobe Bryant kind of like the millennial generation's Michael Jordan, I guess. So, I mean, there was just no doubt that this was going to happen.
No, very little.
But I never really watched much basketball. You know, I know Kyle Kalinske of Secular Talk, who's, you know, kind of a friend of mine, really, really, really fucking had a giant Kobe Bryant boner, you know, and would actually reference him in videos pretty frequently. And I know he was pretty fucking distraught over this, but for me, I mean, it was just like, you know, man who bounced ball dead. So it's like, you know, I mean, I try to be sensitive, but I mean, at the end of the day, he wasn't really that important to me personally.
Sure.
But, you know, not saying that a human being's value is determined by like them impressing me or anything, but on a personal,
it's just that this is the highest honor someone like this can give.
Right. So, and I mean, I appreciate, I mean, like from what I always heard about the guy, it sounded like he had a pretty good like philosophy about, you know, I mean, like, but it's pretty much the same thing you hear from all these like athletes that reach this level, this pinnacle of like their sport. It's, you know, it's always about, you know, hard work, perseverance, never give up, all that stuff. Because, I mean, obviously people with that mentality do tend to perform at that elite level. I don't think you can get there without that.
Definitely not.
But he's dead and he's going to the Hall of Fame. Wisconsin couple killed execution style by daughter's boyfriend, prosecutors say. The teenage couple allegedly didn't follow her parents' social distancing rules.
Damn.
A judge in Madison, Wisconsin. Oh, this is a TJ Tivity story. A judge in Madison, Wisconsin has set $1 million bail for two teenagers charged with the execution-style murders of a respected doctor and an education coach. What the fuck is an education coach? During the early morning hours of March 31st, two joggers came upon the bodies of Dr. Beth Potter and her husband, Robin Carey, lying off the roadway in the University of Wisconsin Arboretum, covered in blood, police said. A witness told the University of Wisconsin-Madison Police Department that they had heard a series of gunshots after 11 p.m. the night before. Carey, 57, was pronounced dead at the scene as Potter, 52, was taken to a nearby hospital where she later died. Both were shot in the head and were left for dead in their house clothes with no shoes, according to the criminal complaint. Investigators conducted several interviews that led them to arrest and charge Kari Sanford, the boyfriend of the couple's adopted daughter, and Sanford's friend Alijah LaRue, with two counts of first-degree murder. Sanford and LaRue made their court appearances on Tuesday via video conference, where a plea was entered, was not entered for the felony charges.
A dude on the left is 18?
I guess.
Yeah.
They're both 18. And they pretty much both look like they're 30. The day before the couple was murdered, Potter confided in a friend that they had moved her adopted daughter, Miriam Potter Carey, and Sanford into an Airbnb because they weren't abiding by the rules of COVID-19 social distancing, according to the criminal complaint. Potter, a doctor at the University of Wisconsin Hospital and Clinics, had a greater risk of infection because of the medication she was taking, and she was concerned about the teenagers going in and out of the house, the complaint said. You don't care about me, Potter Carey allegedly told her mother as they were being moved out.
You don't care about them with your basically selfish actions. If someone's at higher risk, you can't keep exposing them to a deadly virus or disease.
Well, apparently you can.
And I mean, and they actually got him an Airbnb and were like, no, here's, we're going to get you a place to stay if you just don't want to listen to these rules. It wasn't like they were like, fuck you, we're not going to help you. So still being considerate, but I guess they just couldn't accept that.
Yeah, well, you know what there's no cure for? Bullet-titis.
I guess not.
And there's those fucking disgusting parents that were trying to enforce those rules came down with a bad case of bullet-titis.
Dude, this sounds like a justifiable homicide to me.
Yeah.
Because parents is lame.
Yeah, I mean, you know, who hasn't murdered their parents every now and then, right?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone does it at least once in their life.
I mean, you know. I mean, you think our dad really died of a heart attack, quote unquote? Come on, get real.
But don't look into that.
5-year-old has died after being caught in a drive-by shooting while making TikTok videos with his dad. This is another TJ Tivity story.
Wait. Read that headline again.
A 5-year-old has died after being caught in a drive-by shooting while making TikTok videos with his dad.
All right.
When the bullets rang out, 5-year-old Jordan Allen Jr. was on the balcony of his Houston apartment, stuck at home because of social distancing, and he and his father were making TikTok videos. He died Monday, nearly a week after being struck by a stray bullet in the drive-by shooting, CNN affiliate KTRK reported. Jordan was not the intended target, and there are still no known witnesses or suspects, according to the Houston Police Department. Jordan's dad, Jordan Allen Sr., was playing with his son when he stepped away to grab him some juice. Moments later, the family heard gunshots and Jordan begging for help. Everybody ran in the house, and the kids ran in the house. So I ran to the porch, and I see my son laying on the ground, holding his head, asking for help, Allen told KTRK. Allen was able to flag down an ambulance, which transported the child to Texas Children's Hospital, where he was taken off life support days later. That was the last time Allen saw Jordan, who he called the happiest child in the world and a source of joy to anyone who knew him. Police are currently investigating the shooting and do not have a description of the suspect's car. There were multiple casings found in the parking lot, and several cars had damage from possible gunfire, police spokesman Jody Silva told CNN. Anyone with information on the shooting is urged to contact police, but none of them will, because as we know, snitches get stitches.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. Someone knows exactly who did this, doesn't care that a 5-year-old was killed by someone who had a fucking beef with someone else going and shooting up their apartment, and the only person that died was a fucking 5-year-old that had nothing to do with it.
That's, I want to know how they know he wasn't the intended target, man.
Yeah.
I mean, this kid was a kingpin, you know what I mean?
I guess it's possible, Paul.
That little punk-ass bitch Jordan Allen Jr. owe me money. Yeah.
Did he burn him on a drug deal?
Yeah, he's like, oh, look at him up there drinking that juice. It's time for me to fucking waste this little motherfucker.
You got money for juice, ain't got my drug money?
Yeah.
Come on now.
Got plenty of money for juice. But all jokes aside, this is horrible, and, you know, it's just another reason to despise the human race and everything and everyone.
Gave me the warm fuzzies.
Despite the fact, you know, I'd rather despise the fact that people can just have access to these weapons and just wantonly kill people for no reason.
Ex-NFL kicker, Saints hero Tom Dempsey dies at 73.
Yeah, he was in the Lambeth House, which is a cluster spot for COVID-19.
Tom Dempsey, the kicker born with the toes on his kicking foot. What does that mean? Without toes on his kicking foot.
Without toes. I'm sorry. Yeah, that
makes sense. That makes more sense than with toes. I'm like, everyone's got fucking toes. What the hell does that mean?
Toes.
With the toes.
Like Quentin Tarantino's next film.
He made a then record 63-yard field goal. He died late Saturday while struggling with complications from the new coronavirus. He was 73. The Times-Picayune. Fuck me. The Times-Picayune / New Orleans Advocate first reported Dempsey's death. Ashley Dempsey said Sunday that her father, who had resided in an assisted living home for several years after being diagnosed with dementia, tested positive for the coronavirus a little more than a week ago. If he was diagnosed with dementia, why wasn't he running for president? That seems to be one of the qualifications, right?
That's a good question.
The Orleans Parish Coroner has yet to release an official cause of death. I'm sure it probably has to do with the fact he was diagnosed with the coronavirus a week ago. Dempsey's game-winning field goal against Detroit on November 8th, 1970, stood as an NFL record for 43 years until the Broncos' Matt Prater broke it with a 64-yarder.
He kicked it in fucking Denver at fucking goddamn 5,000 feet above sea level. Fuck Matt Prater's record. That ain't even a fucking record, in my opinion.
Scotty's fucking... Yeah. Scotty, tell us more. Tell us more about how it's not even a real record.
It's not a real fucking record, dude. Everyone knows like where they hit the most home runs. In fucking Denver, dude, because they play a fuck. It's like Mile High Stadium, dude. That's where they play. It's a mile above fucking sea level. It's thinner air.
Yeah, that doesn't even count.
It doesn't even fucking count. He only beat him by a yard. It's bullshit. It's not a real record. Tom Dempsey, in my mind, loves the fucking record. Someone wants to kick a 64 yarder at about sea level, like where he did it or near it, then fine. They can have the record.
Hell yeah.
Bullshit, dude.
British 5G towers are being set on fire because of coronavirus conspiracy theories. Yeah, we talked about this, I think on the Pandrasode, actually. 5G phone masts are being set alight in the UK after online conspiracy theories have misleadingly linked the cell towers to the coronavirus pandemic. The BBC reports that at least three 5G towers were set alight within the last week, and police and fire services were called to extinguish the flames. A Vodafone UK spokesperson confirmed to The Verge that four cell towers were targeted in the past 24 hours. Police have now launched an investigation into how the 5G towers caught fire. Well, it wasn't at random. I mean, people are going around setting them on fire. It's not that hard.
So 2G did not cause the disease. 3G, people were fine with. 4G, okay. But 5G rolled out.
Hey, 5G? That's just 1G too many, bro.
Was that the generation that just the disease spreading one?
Oh, like, it was a G too far, man. Just 1G too far. Our engineers are assessing the cause of the fire at one of the towers in Birmingham. If it transpires that it was arson, I mean, what else the fucking you think are the is there an alternate explanation? Like you think the towers are just randomly combusting into fucking flames?
I don't know how you burn something like this anyway. Like, what do you use to burn something like this?
I mean, you know, they're made of wood, Paul. They're just made of wood and like fucking sawdust shavings and shit, right? Let's make 5G towers out of. No, I'd assume that I'm assuming that some kind of accelerant is being used.
How do they believe it's being spread by 5G? That's what I want to know. Like,
maybe it says somewhere. Rumors and conspiracy theories over a link between the rollout of 5G and the spread of the coronavirus have been spread primarily through social media networks. A variety of groups exist on Facebook and Nextdoor, where thousands of members repeat false and misleading claims that 5G is supposedly harmful. One theory that the novel coronavirus originated in Wuhan because the Chinese city had recently been rolling out 5G. It's now supposedly spread to other cities that are using 5G. These false conspiracy theories neglect to mention that a highly contagious virus would naturally spread more in densely populated areas with access to 5G, and that the coronavirus pandemic has hit countries like Iran and Japan where 5G isn't in use yet.
So there's not really any evidence. It's just like saying, hey, isn't it a coincidence that they were doing this in Wuhan and they're doing these other places? It just mighty convenient, huh?
I mean, there's never much fucking backing to these types of stupid fucking things. But it raises a real free speech question, honestly. To what extent should we allow these types of fucking rumors to take hold? Because burning down fucking cell phone towers, that could kill people. Like, not necessarily in the fire, obviously, but just by taking down their ability to fucking connect to the network.
Oh my God, Grandpa's choking. Call 911. There's no cell service. You know?
Yep.
Like, but I'm saving people. I'm burning down this evil tower. What's broadcasting the COVIDs?
It's just the standard for evidence with some people is just so low. Like, I heard a rumor on an internet forum. Gotta be true. Let me go burn down the cell towers. Like, I just don't even know how you can believe such a ridiculous claim with literally no evidence besides someone going, look what happened in China. 5G coronavirus. Italy, 5G coronavirus.
Look who's on board. Woody Harrelson among those sharing coronavirus conspiracy theories linked to 5G.
Woody, get out of here, Woody.
Last week, actor Woody Harrelson posted about a conspiracy theory on his Instagram, writing, a lot of my friends have been talking about the negative effects of 5G. Though I haven't fully vetted it, I find it very interesting. The post has been liked and shared more than 25,000 times.
You had to vet it, Woody. You had to do some scientific research into 5G. Come on.
Dumb fuck.
So, there's some...
Vegan Twinkies, dumbass. God, this guy's a fucking moron.
What are you talking about? He's trying to save people, man.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's what people always claim. I'm always doing the greater good. When they do stupid shit, it's always because I want to help everybody. It's like, no, you just want to fucking be the one that figured it out. I know the truth. Come on. You know, no one has any idea what the fucking truth is. There's no evidence to fucking suggest that 5G is causing this. I don't even know how it would spread. How would 5G fucking spread it? If someone could fucking at least explain that to me, instead of saying it's a coincidence, like there's not even a fucking like it takes the fucking beams of energy and it beams the COVID-19 directly into people's phones or something. I mean, unless there's some crazy shit, I could think, all right, but it's not even that. It's just like it's a coincidence.
I don't know. Maybe you should look into it. Huge feral hogs invading Canada, building pigloos as they go.
Jake, can you play that happy music?
Oh, you like this?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Pigloos?
Pigloos.
That's awesome, dude.
Feral swine, the offspring of wild-born domestic pigs, are spreading through Canada into areas where many didn't think they could survive. Yeah, well, they were wrong. Look at them. They're surviving just fine. This is this little chart that shows the spread. So back in from 1990 to 2000, there was like little tiny slivers of them here and there. Then over the next decade, a little bit more, and now they've carved themselves out a nice little territory there.
All my agents are doing. I mean, excuse me, these pigs are doing their work.
The hog explosion is a new problem, and until recently, no one knew where they were. Says Ruth Asham, the doctoral candidate at the University of Saskatchewan. She and her advisor, Brooke, spent 3 years mapping their distribution using trail camera images, GPS collar data, and interviews with local landowners, farmers, and hunters. For 3 months on the project, Asham lived out of her tent and her car, meeting with local biologists and conservation officers across Western Canada. The results, published in the Paper of Scientific Reports in May 2019, reveal wild pigs have spread extensively over the past 3 decades, with sightings emanating outward from former boer farms. They're continuing to move into new territory far beyond where they were once raised.
Yeah, I mean, these pigs will fuck you up too.
Yeah, they're pretty vicious.
They're no joke. Like they'll rip you wide the fuck open and then eat whatever's left of you when they're done.
These
leave no trace.
They're kind of like bears in a sense, in that they're voracious omnivores. They can hunt and kill. They can scavenge. They'll eat pretty much anything. Meat, plants, fungus, whatever they can fucking digest, which is most things, they will eat.
Look, as far as I'm concerned, these things are doing a public service. They're going to Canada, the despicable country to the north of us. And look, you know, next thing these pigs need to do is invade the Canadian farms. Starve them out. That's what I always say.
Oh, yeah. These are agents of Scotty right here. All right, so that concludes the pleb section of the show.
Get these plebs out of here.
Yeah, it's time for you guys to go. You've had your fill.
I'm go sick on. Of their shit.
We're gatekeeping you. So the rest of the show is behind this little thing we like to call a paywall. So, you know, we do this show's about 2 hours every week, but you guys on the pleb section only get the first hour, and you should be lucky you even get that. If you want to see the rest, you can join our Patreon. And, of course, that applies to everything else as well. You get to see the second half of all of these shows. You get to see our Friday shows, which are for patrons only. You get to see all kinds of other patrons-only content as well. The Grease Trap. Yeah, the Grease Trap, that's available for our higher-tier patrons.
Which, you know, I love that banter zone.
I also do Abandoned Hopes every month. No one gives a shit about those. I stream occasionally. Scotty once tried to stream, but then
I tried to stream. It was Word of the Dog Trap, a disaster.
Sadly failed. But he's working on it. Paul will stream occasionally. Everybody, we all stream occasionally on there as well. So there's lots of little perks and stuff if you join the Patreon. But the main perk that you should be concerned with right now is if you want to see the rest of the show. And with that, we bid the plebs farewell.
Deep bad fight. Deep bad fight. Deep